Linda gives me the signal, we'll get going.
You're good.
All right. Call a March 13th Executive Committee meeting to order. Record will show that four supervisors are present, one youth and governance. Noble, Elverman, and Clark are excused. Citizen comments. Now let him mention Executive Committee. Realize he's in the wrong place. Joe, that leaves you. Anything to say?
Did you want to leave, Joe?
All right, you get out. I don't know what else is on the agenda. But obviously, I wasn't here for executive meeting. Chair, supervisor, and youth and governance comments. Anyone?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
You ready?
Sure.
Okay. Extension time. Education is meeting tomorrow night. One more time. I'm going to repeat this. We are going over the combination of the committees. If anyone wants to voice their opinion, that will be the time. Otherwise, I'm just going to bring it back. We'll probably have to have a committee of the whole because it is part of the resolution, from what I understand. And
I'll need to give that some thought. I quite honestly, it was my opinion that we satisfied the directive with the survey and the results being reported, yeah.
Yeah. We are going to go over the results formally tomorrow night. I know that the one comment that was made, we are addressing it. Extension Education is not happy that they only have 30 minutes, so we are going to push the meetings back or try to with the next term to have them start at 6 o'clock. And then P&D will start at 7 per the statutes. We are serving cake tomorrow night in honor of their 95th anniversary, because I wanted to get it in during this term and before the new board got seated. So that was the first thing. FEMA, here we go. Here's our list. I had them, this is the existing supervisor. Here is the new supervisor. When it all breaks down to the new supervisor, Aaron Decker has the majority of them.
What are we talking about?
These are the new FEMA maps. These are just the new people, not the ones that are currently in the floodplain.
Gotcha.
So these are the new ones just in the towns, in the county. Mm-hmm. So they broke it down by supervisor, existing district, new district, and then it's just Aaron, Mike, and Gil Gentz that have some. They will be contacted.
Nothing in Somers, though.
Actually, there's three of them.
Pike River.
Three of them in Somers, but they're in Gail's district.
Wrong side.
Like Michigan.
The top one there says Bristol. That's actually in Paris.
The whole East End is all along the Pike River.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, Bob Haas had some in the original one. Fred, you had a bunch of them, but those fall under Mike after the next election. So Aaron's just going to take care of all of them. All of these people were sent a letter yesterday. They will be contacting, P&D will be contacting you and any other supervisor that has someone theirs, just to let them know about the letter that went out and go over everything, give them the addresses, and then a copy of the letter if they want it, just to see, because you may actually get a phone call prior to the election. But these still have to be, they still have to get their flood insurance by June 19th. Can't get around that.
All right. So that's the issue you're presenting with this map list, is that they are required to purchase flood insurance.
Yes, they are.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, that'll be.
And if they do it before June 19th, they're going to get a huge discount. After that, they're in trouble.
All right. Anyone else? I have no other reports. One question, though. We do have one meeting left for this current board on April 10th. I know you're going to be gone. Are we obligated to meet, Frank?
No. All
right.
I don't have a calendar, but after the election, there's usually like three meetings in one night.
County board.
Right.
I'm asking, are we obligated, this committee obligated?
Oh, this committee, no.
No, I understand the process for the rest of it.
Okay.
So we'll see what we do with that. May make sense to wait for the new board to be seated. I'll look at. All right, approval of the February 21st, 2012 minutes. I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
By Michael, second by Brunig. Any discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. 6A at 6:36, report on status of Corp Council's 2012 budget.
Everything is online. Anything on the asterisk is online at 8.3%. Everything with an asterisk is within that parameter, very close to it. Same with the ones that don't have the line items that do not have an asterisk. Those are online through the month of February, and that should be at 16.6. The only ones that are a little bit over are books and mileage and lease rental, and those are just... that's nothing to be concerned about. The lease rental has gone on an annual basis, so those come due early in the year, and the books and mileage are not under the ordinary for this time of year.
Any discussion or questions? Just a quick two questions I'm thinking of here. Not specific to the budget, but Bernie will take your place at these meetings going forward, at least in the interim, if not long term. And Linda, the proceedings, they are being recorded, and I have not gone to the website to listen to them, but they are being uploaded.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you aware of any audio issues? Are they were?
I was told today that they fixed the thing. Our last meeting, it worked fine. The meeting before, we only got a half a meeting recorded. So.
And it's audible. We can hear it. Sound is good?
Yeah, if you turn it up good and loud, yeah.
Okay. Okay, 6B at 6:37. Discussion of possible action on countywide cell phone ordinance. You know, this has been on here, and I am of the opinion that, I know Illinois just passed a statewide ban on all handheld, got to be hands-free. I don't know where that we sit at the state. Frank, you've I don't know if caution is the right word, but certainly pointed out the concerns about doing a local ordinance. I don't see any movement at the state level anytime soon. They have recently, or as of today, they'll be out of session until whenever they reconvene. Is that September they reconvene?
Yeah.
You know, the point that's been made is you need to know what municipality you're in to understand what applies where, and I use hands-free as often as I can, so part of me says I'm okay with that. You should know the laws of where you're at, I guess, to some extent. I either want to move this forward, or we'll scratch it from the agenda going forward.
Right.
Or the other one last thing. The other alternative is to get a correspondence sent up to the state of Wisconsin, our legislators, urging them to get this on the agenda and get something put into place quickly.
How about if I make sure that there's nothing pending up there right now,
mm-hmm.
and if there isn't, a resolution can be prepared, possibly for WCAA or for just Kenosha County to send to our local reps, and urging them to do it.
You know, if we do that, I'd like the resolution to urge WCA to take the issue up and copy our local reps on it.
Wise.
What's that?
That's wise. I said that's a good idea.
I think that'll get more.
Anyone have any other thoughts or comments on that issue?
No, it makes sense because, Frank, if more than likely they're going to make it a traffic offense anyways, correct?
Yes. I talked with Joe about a week or two ago, and it was my understanding Joe Cardinal,
okay.
that they were in the process of looking at some legislation that would be statewide and that it would be covered under some of the same provisions provisions currently in the state statute pertaining to
because it's under the driving, I mean.
Inattentive driving or something like that.
Yeah, well, if it's in the motor vehicle code, it's automatically pulled into our ordinances.
No, we would have to adopt it into the ordinance.
I thought that we adopt everything from.
Yeah, we do it with each one. If they change it or something, we have to change it.
But I thought driving we can't, because that's like speeding. You can't have. We can't issue a county ordinance for speeding. I thought there's specific.
That's all we ever. Right.
No. But the, for instance, the money and everything, because an ordinance, the money stays.
Right.
But with like a speeding ticket, it goes to the state of Wisconsin.
Not if it's written as an ordinance.
Right.
Yeah, not locally.
Oh, they are? There
right.
are.
Well, like in Bristol, everybody is written under ordinance 10.1.1, adopting 346.
Oh, okay.
Right.
And, you know, and that would be the same thing here.
Right.
I don't know, is it Chapter 9 or whatever?
No, I believe it's 7.
7? Okay, so it's a 7 adopting whichever. Right. And I always thought that if they create a new one that's within the parameter, it's automatically there and included as an ordinance violation.
No, we list each state statute, but and we give it a county number. So, like, if the state statute is 356.1, ours would be 7-356.1 or something like that. And then the deputy knows how to write it.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that's a better way to go, really, than having it, because it wouldn't be in that section at all. If we adopted something, it'd probably be in what, Chapter 9?
Right.
Yeah.
I agree that I'd prefer something come down from the state, that is statewide, but I don't see them taking that up as an issue that's before them anytime soon. And you know, when the discussion first came up, it was pretty quickly settled down and calmed down by the lobbyists on the cell phone side of the table. So it's going to be a while before something gets done, and I think it needs to be sooner than later.
Well, we can draw up a supporting resolution.
All right. Let's do that for the next meeting, if we have it. We should plan for the October 10th meeting. I'm sorry. April 10th meeting. April 10th meeting.
Okay.
We could have more lame ducks at that meeting than we do tonight, though. That's my only concern.
I'm just following it.
One, two.
Apparently, you can't do
three.
That.
Yeah.
For the email I got today from Bernie. All right, anything else on the cell phone ordinance? 643, 6C, discussion of possible updates to the ethics code. Frank, if you have something here, or what I'd like to do is go ahead.
I took the opinion that we had sent to you, and at the end of that opinion, there were six recommendations. Some of those are from the DA, some combination.
He's referring to the opinion that was specifically
that's what
a
we're
request
talking
that was about
right
me. We've correct. Yeah, I just want to make sure the committee understands what you sent to me.
And I think there was a feeling that there was a need for some clarification or removal of any ambiguity with respect to how that portion of the code should be interpreted. I went back and looked at the, I was looking at it today, three of those recommendations I think probably either have been addressed or really don't need to be addressed. One of them had to do with the threshold for a supervisor contracting with the county. I had said in that letter, for example, that there was a zero dollar amounts. The supervisor could not under our ethics code. But with the state, you could at 15.
Right.
I was incorrect in that. Our code did take into account and adopted the state minimum or state maximum, I should say,
yeah, 15,000.
So that, for example, has been addressed. The three other.
And you're not advocating changing that?
No.
Okay. Do we have, to your knowledge, supervisors who are currently contracted with the county in any way? Below that threshold?
Not that I'm aware of. That was put in there because in a lot of counties, 72 counties, you have such a small number of people to draw from in terms of who could do work. You could have a surveyor, for example, who is on the county board, but he's the only surveyor in a four-county area, so if he did $15,000 worth of work, that was not considered to be egregious and could be considered allowed under the state criminal statute, which is adopted as part of our ethics code. So that left a couple of other areas. I did work up a draft of changes in three sections, and it's ready. I didn't bring it tonight because I didn't know how much you wanted to get into it with this board or with the new board, but I can send that to you tomorrow. I took the tack of looking at the one particular section of the ethics code that says that if a supervisor cannot discuss or vote or get involved in any matter involving a former, current, or known future client. And I started to address that by using definitions as to what a former client was and what a known future client would be. So I thought that was one approach. I mean, you can think of other approaches, but this is just something to get the ball rolling on. And basically saying that that statute also applied to partners and associates, other people in the firm. If they had a client, it was the supervisor's client also. Now,
which has always at least been my understanding, so I don't know.
Right.
I don't know where that separation discussion has come from. But
it wasn't spelled out in the old
Act. Okay.
So this was to spell out. Now, in looking at that code, there's all sorts of scenarios that can come up. You know, and maybe one thing to do is to take a look at this code once a year and just see what's come up and see if you want to stay with it. For example, the former client. I said if that was a client or a customer of a supervisor and there hadn't been any contact, I don't even think I said there hadn't been any contact, but that was the intent. There hadn't been any involvement with that client for 10 years prior to whatever action was affecting that client, but it was before the county board now, that if it was more than 10 years, a supervisor could vote on it. You could say 10 years is too long, it could be 5 years. And thinking about it, I was thinking, you know, what if that supervisor did not part on good terms? What if that supervisor,
sure,
you know, was owed money because of the work that he did? Should that have a bearing on it? Probably not. But there are things like that that, you know, you really don't think of until you, you know, the rubber hits the road and you're confronted with that kind of a scenario or situation. So I don't view that ethics code as being the be-all and the end-all of ethics. It's a starting point that can be improved upon, I'm sure, and there will be scenarios that come up that nobody has ever really thought about. So that was one of the big things. The thing about the partners was another. And there was one other issue. And I can't think of it right now. But it is done. I gave it to Linda. She has it in Word.
That's perfect.
Nice.
And I sent a copy to Bernie so he's aware of it. And you can use that as a jumping-off point if you want to meet on April 10th. But I thought it was so late in the year that, and I was going to bring it over, but I forgot it on my desk. If you really want to, I can go over it.
Did we do, when we looked at this policy 2 years ago, there was some discussion about working for the county post-term?
Yes, yes. And that's another thing that I...
Initially, like they said, a year, but yep. I don't know if that was ever put in.
No, it's in.
Oh, it is in?
It's in for both supervisors and for employees.
Okay.
And that was another thing that you may want to go back and look at. What it says is, say, for me, I'm leaving county government now. For 1 year, I should not be allowed to go and work for, I just did the contract for waste management. I shouldn't be allowed to do that, even though I didn't vote on it or anything. Mm-hmm. I drafted or participated in drafting it. And the same thing is in there for supervisors. So you have 1 year after you leave county government, you have to stay clear. And that's generally the rule in federal government.
But
that's where it came
with that regarding, for instance, elected officials, for instance, I mean, you couldn't apply for a county job or anything for that year? Or you're saying you can't, like, we can't vote as a county board supervisor?
You I believe that it's limited to if you voted on a contract, you can't go back and get a job with the provider
with
that we contract.
Right, but you could apply for, a county board supervisor could apply for a job with the county.
Yeah.
You're just saying you can't use, so it's you're not, it right. doesn't it's, look like you.
It doesn't look like you voted for it and then you left and you had a sweetheart deal with
the. And they were going to take care of it, right?
To work there. So that's. And the sample for that came from the federal government, specifically with respect to people in the arms industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would, you know, sell us. You know, you'd be a general or something in the Army and you'd okay a particular tank to be built or something.
The Halliburton
group. Then you went up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the,
right.
Or the, he's the big guy.
So that was, that's one you don't see in most ethics code. But.
Well, and one thing to, it's also part of the next issue here is we drafted this ethics code or updated it 2 years ago. And the reason it's back on the agenda is really only in response to some of the points that were made by the DA in the opinion that he wrote for me or in regard to me. And Frank and I both thought, Frank in particular, thought it made sense to address those issues in our ethics policy. So there isn't a question of whether or not there are problems with it or violations in it or any pushback from any county supervisors about it. Similar to maybe other units of government who seem to have struggle getting their ethics policy in order. Ours is in order. We simply are looking for an opportunity to update it and make sure it remains in good standing. So,
yeah, I mean, I was asked to prepare a list of ordinances and policies that mm-hmm. we worked on. This is one of those that you probably should be looked at on a more regular basis, I think, periodic basis. Just because situations come up, they might come up with other units of government, other counties or whatever, and you want to get a head start or
sure.
you want to address them.
Okay.
I'll send that, Linda, why don't you remind me, and I'll email that to, I'll email it to everyone on the committee.
And Linda, let's have it on the next agenda, and then whether or not we meet in April, it'll be on the May agenda and nothing else.
Okay.
Good. Okay. All right, 654, 6C, discussion of possible, 6D, I'm sorry, 6D, review of the Municipal Code of Kenosha County for possible updates. You have attached to what was sent out an email that was forwarded. Which I guess is Frank's take on policies that could be looked at and order of priority. That's your order of priority, Frank?
Is right. That? This is just something I went through, everything that we had on the books and other areas where we had never done anything and where possibly, you know, something could be done. Maybe not a lot, but perhaps there should be some issues. Policies. The one I read about a lot, I think I mentioned it, was the social networking
mm-hmm.
Policies. It would probably be a good idea to at least talk about that, how that may impact you know, county employees and county operations.
Our claims policy, that came up during the discussion about the contracting policy.
Yes.
So we reference, I believe, the claims policy, and they say here, review and update as needed. My understanding is that's a relatively new or newly updated policy?
No. These policies go back to the early 1980s. I want to say.
But I thought Carol O'Neill had done some updating with that.
The claims?
Yes. No?
I don't believe so.
I don't know why she'd be involved.
Well, you know, maybe that came up in the discussion, and she was here, but not specific to her.
She was involved with the contracting policy.
Yeah. So I see a couple of things on here. You've got the bottom three: safety, travel, personnel, review, fairly up to date. So those three are what I would say are certainly less of a concern for me,
right,
but also fairly up to date, to
right,
use your words. You also have the top three, which are general provision section, claims policy, and legal policy, all, or two, three, and four here, all say review and update as needed. I guess if I read into that, that tells me those probably don't have to be the top priority, but they should be.
The only reason I have them there is because if you look at the next, you're right, the bottom three I think are the least important in terms of doing something right away, because they have been done within the last number of years. The middle three, 5, 6, and 7, we've really never done anything on. And I think that they would take a little bit more time.
You're saying, when you say new, you're saying it's not a new...
Never been done.
Okay.
It's a blank sheet.
Perfect.
Blank piece of paper.
And where do they come from? In other words, why are those three? Why property and security, data processing, and office management? Are these recommendations coming from your office?
Yeah.
Or are they issues that have come up before and just never gone anywhere?
No. The history of it is that when they went to the county executive form of government, there was this issue as to who did what. And at that time, they had retained a consultant, and basically he took policy resolutions from all over the state, from the 16 counties, I think, at that time, that had a county executive form of government, and said these are examples of policies. So I had 8 bookshelves of resolutions, which really didn't, to be honest, they were pretty much useless. So the concept of having a policy manual was something that was discussed with the legislative committee at that time. And the idea behind it was to put into one place all of the county's policies, whether they be enacted by the county board, whether they were county executive orders, or whether they were just internal policies from a department. For example, I created my own policy, Corp Counsel's office. I don't know if anybody's ever seen them other than people in the office, but and it really doesn't matter, but they relate to how we would handle cases and basically what we would do and format and filing systems and stuff like that. Those were to be considered analogous to administrative rules at the state level. State, you had the state statutes, which would be county policies, and then the state departments had their own administrative rules, which are in their own little book, and then the governor, whatever he has, executive orders or whatever. So the idea was to put it all into one package and have it readily available. And the scheme for it, if you will, was to basically go over what county government does, especially in an administrative arena. So we dealt with property. We own property. How do we want to manage it? There's nothing sacred about this list. I mean, you can take something off and put something back on. I mean, that, you know, that
Well, but certainly we would, at least from my standpoint, defer to your office in terms of recommendation where you think we have holes or where we have need to address a specific issue that maybe has come up in the past or what have you.
Yeah, these are just basically, you know, finance. It's good to have some financial policies. We had wanted to put the chart of accounts in there and some of the other things that affect Dave's office and how he runs it and how he treats certain accounts. Personnel policy, there's an awful lot of personnel policies. They include fair hiring, include the non-rec pay plan, could include harassment on the job.
Well, that's already there pretty well in place.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, data processing, that was new at the time. It was thought that that would be an area where there should be some structure, protocol, if you will, use of equipment, some of the other things that come into play in terms of keeping track of the equipment, things of that sort. The property and security, that was one that had gone to the Finance Committee, and they kept bouncing it back and forth, and it never got to the board. I think it did get to the board a couple of times, as a matter of fact.
How long ago?
Within the last 10 years. And it just wasn't going anywhere recent. It was really getting to be kind of a drag and kind of a waste of time. So it just kind of went on a back burner. The legal policy, if you look at that, that should be updated, I think. It talks about settlement of cases, guidelines for settling cases, and things of that nature. The claims, who can settle claims, what amount. Now, that one, I think, I put that toward the top there because, first of all, Bernie's been heavily involved. He's been on the board of directors for WMIC. And WMIC is not a, this was done before WMIC was part of our program. So that's something that probably could and should be looked at.
Well, property and security, I don't fully recollect that being on the board floor before, but then again, our contract policy was out there for 8 years as well, so. I'd like to, if we have that in a current draft, it's an old draft, but we have a draft of it to begin with. I would suspect with some effort, we could probably get that wrapped up.
Okay.
And the legal policy and claims policy, I've got to suspect, could be updated in relative short order. So it may make sense that we revisit this property and security draft that we currently have. If it's been that long, I would suspect your office would have some changes to be made to that before it was even brought forward to the committee as a draft. And you could also have recommendations for the claims and legal policy without too much effort as well, I would suspect.
Right. I would suggest taking these one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
If for no other reason than the fact that you're still at 50% in the office right now, I don't think that they will need a lot of updating on our part. We may need to just change committee names.
Sure.
And there wouldn't be any conflicting, like departments having their policies that would conflict with these, correct? Like the sheriff department doesn't have any of their own policies?
No, sheriff deals mostly with conduct of the deputies.
Okay.
Again, when we first started this, the idea was to put everything into one central location, but it doesn't really work.
Individual department policies.
Yeah, it's kind of hard.
I suppose it's much like the county ordinances versus state ordinances. We can't supersede.
But that's what I'm saying. Currently, like the sheriff's department doesn't have a policy relating to with property and you know what I mean. So that everybody would relate to the county's policy. So the department.
He may have some things in there with respect to security at the safety board.
Evidence.
But
all that stuff.
dispositions of evidence.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
yeah.
Which we would want to draft a policy on anyway. No, the county board, I wouldn't want to get in the middle of that.
I would think you'd want to meet that with the sheriff.
And even like the health department, I mean.
I don't know if they have their own cell. They probably have something over there. But, you know, again, that would be so specialized that it would be something that, I mean, they may have a policy, for example, that, you know, before you give inoculations, you've got to go through some type of sanitary protocol to ensure that nobody's going to get a dirty needle or whatever. I would suspect that if they had a policy, that's would be that kind of thing. Just set up a local protocol for how things should be done. In terms of ordinances, the only two that I really thought maybe somebody should just read and take a look at: general government and emergency government. Emergency government, there may have been some changes in the law. The general government, there's another one where I don't think there'd be a lot of changes, but you may want to look at, say, for example, our office is in there. Also some other departments and commissions which may not even exist anymore could probably be eliminated. And again, that's not a big deal. I don't think that's a big deal. The self-organized county ordinance keeps coming up and does affect the county board. We've cited it a number of times in our opinions with respect to salary and compensation and stuff like that, the per diem. I think the per diem is still being enforced, as far as I know, is being adhered to in terms of how you count the per diem.
Mm-hmm. We have an ordinance. We correct. You can only. I mean, the dollar amount is fixed that you can cap out. I mean, it's very.
Right.
Did we change that in the ordinance?
We changed that along with the elimination of the health insurance and addressing the compensation.
The dollar amount?
Per diem, the dollar amount per diem available to a county board supervisor has a cap.
And I think the ordinance allows for, it says per county board capture or something like that. But in terms of what qualifies for 3 hours and 6 hours.
Right.
There wasn't any change to that.
Right, no.
That's in there. I think like the family court commissioner, stuff like that, those are things. Maybe you want to just take a look at that and update it or take it out. Again, not a big thing.
So if we are to, in your opinion, have tackle a policy, does it make sense if you look at this property and security?
Yeah, I think that
based on where it currently is.
I would guess we still have that in the office, probably in Word.
So all right. Good luck finding that, Linda.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on that discussion? If not, 6E is an N-word at 7:09 p.m. Update regarding online publication of public notices.
Here's another one where you may want to just do what was being done with the cell phone, to just make a recommendation to the state. I saw that there was some legislation introduced in 2010 and probably again in 2011, although I didn't find it. That talked about the one in 2010 would have required publication of meeting notices online if you had a website. The county had a website, or city or the town.
Right.
So those are ones that, and the opinion that we wrote on it a long time ago probably makes a pretty good case for going to online publication, which is a good cost savings to the county and probably a better service. You don't need to put this in. We're probably, has the potential to reach at least as many people as the commission. And right now that we're using a union paper. There's some caveats with that. And the more I thought about it, I thought it'd be something that you need to perhaps have some kind of a gatekeeper on to see what's being published in terms of getting affidavits and things of that sort that could be used to prove that there was in fact a publication online. So those are some things that there were a couple of points on there that, you know, in this day and age is probably a good thing to do. On the other hand, it's something that probably ought to be about a little bit more and make sure that it's doable and workable, and it gives you the same type of service, if you will, that you get now with a hard copy publication.
Well, that's Joel's issue. Not Joel Potani, Joel Clark.
Right. So if you want, we could do a resolution along that line, if you would. Or if you want to discuss it more.
We can take a look at the draft resolution. I don't have quite as much. We're looking to get this. So we're not having to do anything beyond an online publication. At least I think it's worth.
And you're saying that would fulfill the open meeting requirements and stuff like
well,
that?
Well, no. According to the Attorney General's office, no. We had written for an AG opinion. He disagreed. I thought the AG, I didn't agree with the AG. But.
So what's interesting is that they're not in agreement.
You'd have to change the law.
Basically. Yeah. I guess my point is you look at the current publications locally here. Joe, what's your circulation, under 30,000?
25-ish.
So they've got a circulation of 25,000. You've got the labor paper as a circulation of?
Five?
Three, I would say five.
I'd say around 10.
10?
It used to be 10 5 years ago. 10 to 13 5 years ago.
Yeah, and so, you know, you put on top of that, not all of that circulation is local.
Right.
Yet somehow that meets the criteria and reaches the audience from a publication notice, an official publication notice, but an active county website doesn't. I don't understand that.
Well, the thing with the
and I think that's where Clark is coming from, essentially. Yeah. Maybe not specific to that.
At the time, I mean, there's some history in terms of how that all came about, but the idea was to try and save some money and to reach more people, and to have a permanent record that was searchable, and it could possibly be something that's, you know, if there were people in the community that were interested, they could subscribe. You could email it to them every week, or they could just go to your. You could put a notice in their tax bill that says. All our legal notices and meeting notices, et cetera, are located at www.whatever. So there were a lot of good reasons for doing that, and it was. I know that there's opposition. I think from especially small newspapers, up north, there was opposition to that because that's a source of income for them.
Sure.
On the other hand, it is something that you can as a permanent record, and you can do both too. Or you could split it. You could say, for example, like right now we split election material goes in the Kenosha News, and I think zoning goes in the Kenosha News. And other things like your county board proceedings, going to the labor paper, So if you could split it a little bit and maybe try to accommodate everybody so that nobody gets hurt, but that you have a better way of giving people notice and of keeping track of it.
But do you see, if it going to online, that the county would have to have certain, like, terminals or something where people could actually, because so
no,
that
no, you'd be able to access it at home.
No, but I'm saying, because if a person says, well, you know what, you're isolating a particular class of individuals if they don't have the financial stance to have a computer.
They could get it at the library.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here comes voter ID.
Or they could, you could make a terminal available here or whatever.
Okay.
You know, there's ways to accommodate that. The thing that I saw as being a potential problem and a need for a gatekeeper is that you want to make sure what's going on is legitimate, and that it's not, you know, if you got somebody putting garbage on there or whatever, you want to be able to take that stuff off if it's not a true public notice. And in terms of the other thing that is needed, and a lot of times, is an affidavit of publication, and that was a big stumbling block for me. How are you going to get that affidavit of publication? And maybe there's a way to do it. I'm not that computer savvy, but there may be a way to handle that kind of thing. At the time, I think 5 years ago, I think the 80,000 sticks in my head in terms of what we were paying. I don't think we're paying anywhere near that now. The thing why I didn't agree with the AG's office is that they were saying it didn't fit the definition of publication. And I said in the notice, that, well, you know, at that time, you know, 50% of the people in the county could argue legitimately had access to a home computer. That's probably a larger number now. And the other thing is that it's kind of difficult for a newspaper to say this doesn't reach the people when newspapers are going online.
Right.
So I, you know, it's something that probably will get ironed out or talked about, you know, in future legislative sessions.
Well, and quite honestly, that's a pretty solid point that you make, which is the definition of publication, when in fact you've got hard print going to online availability, et cetera. So let's, I guess, lead a resolution forward that we can send to, again, the WCA and our state legislators on that issue.
I mean, the other alternative is to have, like, a central, like in Milwaukee, I think the Milwaukee is, I forget the name of the paper, but they print all of the legal notices, all the bids, requests for bids.
Well, see, and that's my point. That makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. It is entirely moving in the opposite direction, because the average citizen isn't going to go look under bids and award of contracts and everything else if they're interested in when and where county government or city government, for that matter, is going to meet, or their local government is going to meet.
No, but if you did it like Craigslist, and you get all 72 counties pouring everything into one location,
sure,
which could monitor the stuff and which could somehow or other certify that, yeah, it was online as of such and such a date, and it's been online ever since. And if you want to see it, here's where you go to look at it. So maybe someday somebody will set up a website.
Well, I was going to say that's an awful long ways away, I would think, because you need to pull all that together and create that one-stop site. But, you know, the point I was making is we have the ability to do that. I think we can publish in the Journal Sentinel, couldn't we?
Oh, sure.
We could publish in the Racine Journal Times. So,
well, for meeting notices, I think I'm thinking you have to be like a local paper or something that's, it doesn't have to be local published, but it's got to be local distributed. Mm-hmm.
But I think you hit it on the head. I could see the state of Wisconsin, wisconsin.org, and if you want to find out every county and just click onto theirs, and they say, guess what, the state of Wisconsin, we're going to monitor you, you're going to send it in, and this is going to be, the state of Wisconsin would be the gatekeeper, and you, all 72 counties, you look at Kenosha, you can find out, or you can go, whatever, Lincoln County.
This is our retirement.
You got to wait a year.
You got to wait a year. Yeah, exactly.
You got to wait a year. All right, anything else on that issue? If not, 6F, status report on casino at 7:21.
Okay, we have a letter. That's the letter that you... this was drawn up by Don Bauer from Perkins Coy, which incidentally, I don't know if I mentioned it, when I was at the Legislative Reference Bureau in Madison, across the street from the Capitol, and it's on the second floor of a building up there, I got off the elevator, and what did I find but a Perkins Coy branch office. they are all over the country and probably all over the world. In any event, they drew up this letter. As you know, I had the tribe take a look at this to see if there were any issues. They had a couple of issues. We modified it. I think we addressed their concerns. I told them that we were going to meet last Tuesday, that they had till then to get to me. That meeting got sidetracked, as you know. So we're meeting today, so I told them they had till today, and if I didn't hear from them until today, or by today, I was going to take this to the committee and ask if they would sign it, and if you do sign it, we will have to... you can't send it out yet. I have to put a copy of the IGA.
My understanding is I was going to sign it as chairman of the board, and Cruiser was going to sign it as a county executive. No.
Well.
And I don't have an issue if he doesn't, as long as he's not.
The reason it's on county board supervisors' letterhead. I didn't know if he would sign on your letterhead or you would sign on his. Maybe they can do both.
I'm not sensitive to the letterhead, Logan. it really doesn't matter to me. I'm only suggesting that I don't want Jim to be slighted at all if he isn't party to it. So whatever he'd like to do, I'm open.
I will see if he wants to sign a similar one and retype it on his letterhead.
I wouldn't give up county board letterhead so quickly. You might want to ask him first.
Okay.
Can you send two letters?
I will send two letters, but if you would like me to send one letter.
Doesn't matter.
We're here.
Make sure, and just let me know, I'll stop down and sign it. So
okay.
All
right.
Know what you're doing.
We have the original here if you want to sign it.
I can do that, sure.
Just as long as it goes into one envelope, because the county is only going to pay
one
envelope.
Yeah.
Is there any other update, Frank, on the casino?
No, I haven't heard anything else on it.
Okay.
Clark and I ran into Olson after Frank's party, and he stated that it's still in the regional and the cities. It hasn't,
hasn't moved.
Hasn't moved yet, but they're expecting it to get...
I thought they told us that last time.
I haven't heard anything from the city, and I'm not copying them on any of this. Do you want me to copy them? I can do that.
It's a letter, they want to send a letter of support, they should send one.
Okay.
All right. 7:25, 7, possible closed session. Any reason to go into closed session today?
I really don't have anything more to report on the health department. I did get a call from Bob DeMay, and he had a scheduling problem with April 23rd. Wanted to know if we could schedule it a week early or a week late, and I said, that's fine. And it's just scheduling. He he still, what he really needs to do now is schedule the motion that I have there. And I would ask the judge to rule on that motion first before any of the other motions.
Sure.
I have also have a motion to strike the or quash the 878 questions. And I would hold off on that to see how he's going to rule on the motion for a partial summary judgment. I think that's probably going to dictate how he's going to schedule everything else. Really, there's no need, in my opinion, for scheduling anything else until he rules
right
on that motion for a partial summary judgment. And I say that because if he rules in favor of the county, things can proceed a little bit faster. If he rules against the county and says, no, we have to go to a hearing on these nine issues, which he could do, which doesn't mean that the nine, that the motion I made was frivolous or that the county doesn't have a good case, just that there are factual issues that
he wants to hear it out.
Did he, you haven't briefed it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the briefs are
already. Yeah, in fact, I was going to give it to Joel tonight. I thought he might want to look at it from an accounting point of view. I don't know if anybody's going to see it or if you want to look at it, Bill. There are some aspects of this that deal with the tax equity and uniformity of taxation issues.
Now, when were these submitted? When was your brief submitted?
That was submitted on February 9th. I was trying to get a hearing before I left.
But they haven't responded? They didn't do a the city or Dumais or anybody hasn't done it?
No. We told the court at that time that we thought we were close to a settlement.
Okay.
And they did not. Now, yesterday we did file a motion for sanctions, which means that basically I'm saying that they're claims are without merit and that they should compensate us for our fees, attorney fees for having to go through all of this.
This has been filed, you said, correct?
Yes, it's filed. It's all filed.
So it's all public.
But did he give you a scheduling for their response no. to your brief? Nothing?
No. Which is, I mean, now he's had over 20 days. You need 20 days notice on the summary judgment. He'd be more than 20 days, it'd probably be closer to 40. So I would hope that he would schedule this hearing rather quickly and that we could at least argue this.
And this is in front of Judge Kirkman, or who is this in front of?
Yes. Okay. But there are some issues there that if he was ever going to look at it to get it to Joe Clark, he may have some additional insight.
I can certainly get it to him.
I have it tomorrow. Yeah,
that's fine.
And if nothing else, it'll keep up at night. So.
He doesn't have enough things to do right now either.
Yeah. If you just tell him you have it and you get it to him tomorrow, he'll stay up tonight.
Stop by and pick it up.
Okay, anything else?
I was going to mention, and I'm glad Joe's here because I was meaning to give him a call. We did award the prescription drug contract to Omnicare. And just by way of a little bit of background, this started in 2011. Omnicare was going to get the contract, and then there was this complaint from Alliance that there were all these issues. So for the better part of 2011, we were trying to get that straightened out. Finally, about August of last year, we weren't getting anywhere, and we opted to utilize Alliance. And Omnicare was a little bit upset about that, and at that point, they started a lawsuit and also an appeal. And we resolved that by saying we would rebid, and at least for the next year, for 2012, and that we would it would be a blind process. And they, in turn, dropped the litigation in the appeal. We went through the blind process. The process was good. I utilized the services of three volunteer from other public county nursing homes from throughout the state. I picked them based on their ratings. They had to have ratings as high as what Kenosha had, and they had some familiarity with the process. So I got those. Nobody knew who those people were except myself. They didn't even know who the other persons were on the panel. They graded everything. There were some issues. It turned out in the end that there were discrepancies in some of the return, in all of the returns, to a greater or larger extent. And rather than go through another rebid again, even with just those three people, decision was made to just go with the low score. People were told if there were disqualifying factors, ignore them. Just let us know, and we will make a decision as to whether they should be disqualified or not, but score it anyway. Well, it turned out that there were disqualifying events, if you will, that, in our opinion, all three people, all three providers have done, therefore, we just went with the low score for 2012. Kept it for 2012. Sometime this year, they can make a decision to either opt to renew or to rebid it again in 2013.
Okay.
We needed to get this thing going. That was the best way.
More importantly, we followed our policy, right?
Our contract? Well, this is the one where this was the very first question the guy asked me when I went up there with the contract to the company here. He said, who's got authority to sign, which is right in the contract policy, because that became an issue.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons why you should have that policy.
All right, 7:33, any other business? If not,
move to adjourn.
Well, see, before we do that, motion by Michael, seconded by Ekernes. Your last meeting, Frank, right?
Yeah, this is my last, and I let me just say this, that I certainly hope this isn't the kiss of death, but I do hope that Bernie's given consideration. He's been at the office for, I think, 30 years. Clearly, the guy I've always gone to, he's been my conscience more times than I care to admit. He's knowledgeable. I'm sure he's going to do things different than I am. Anybody would. That can be a good thing. So progress is made, I think. I did things differently than my predecessor. There's no reason why that shouldn't happen. I hope everybody gives him a fair shake and a chance. And if he doesn't, then give me a call and I'll kick ass.
Well, we certainly gave you your due at the last county board meeting, but again, I want to thank you for all you've done, not only for the county board, for me personally, for the committee. I've enjoyed working with you, even in the times when we disagree, which weren't many, but I certainly appreciate your passion, and
on
some level, we'll miss you, I'm sure.
I got to tell you this, I got a tree from Sanuta's today. Cheese and crackers. My dentist was thrilled.
You know you're all, it's all over when you get a tray from Tanuta. And, you know, we certainly look forward to working with Bernie here again in the interim at a minimum, and we'll see where it goes beyond that. Christina, are you done?
If we do not have a meeting in April.
Oh, there you go.
That would be my last meeting.
We have our outgoing and our incoming youth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When?
May 15th, I think, is the ceremony.
17th, probably. At the county board meeting?
Yeah.
17th, yeah.
Second.
All right. Well, I'm not sure if we're having a meeting next month or not. So.
So if not, I'm sure we'll see you at the ceremony. Mm-hmm. If nothing else, I appreciate your time on the board here.
Thank you for
having me. And it's been enjoyable. I hope you have something to take away from it.
Definitely.
And remember, go to polls.
Already registered.
Are you?
Yes, I am.
Perfect. Good for you. All right. There's a motion on the floor for Michael, second by Ackerness. All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, motion carries. Linda?
I'll give this to Joseph. I know he'll want to say this.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but I think this is like the shortest executive meeting that
we've had. Well, we've had some pretty heady...
Well, it made up for the last one.
Pretty heady issues on the agenda.
Yeah, I was surprised when Olson, when we ran into Olson, I expected it to be in D.C. I mean, how